Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it seems like when Pastor was saying, welcome people, I looked, I checked, I said, yesterday we left, it's just like we left church yesterday, and today is Thursday. It's just like the days are running. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for this opportunity. I just want to especially say thank you, Pastor NY. Thank you to the pastorate for opportunities like this to do what God would have us do. Amen. Glory be to God. Quickly, we'll be very fast tonight. Let's dive into God's word as we pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. As we share your word, Lord, our hearts are open, our spirits are set, and our ears open to hear your word, and our lives are transformed and better for it. Glory to your name, Father. Take these lips of clay and do that which you will do tonight. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, we'll be looking at when God fights your battle. When God fights your battle. If you want to call it any other thing, it will be God's help. When God fights your battle. Praise the Lord. As we go through life, sometimes we come across some things that happens. But most importantly, let's know that God has always got our backs. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a time that I was in Enugu then, and something happened. I came back from class one time, and I was having an exam. So I wrote one paper, came back home. I said, let me rest a little bit before I go back for the next paper. And then as I was just lying, I was just lying down after eating. I just let me rest a little bit. And I was hearing, my neighbor actually was playing film, seems like a war film or something. So I was hearing gunshot, but I was sleeping. But even in the midst of that sleep, I was hearing gunshot. And the next thing that happened, I didn't know that it's not gunshot that is even from the film. Around the estate had been surrounded by police. They were real gunshots. And as I opened my window, I said, this did not be like film. As I opened my window, the next thing I saw was one guy carrying gun and facing me and saying, if you jump, if you move. Hallelujah. And I froze. And the next thing that happened, I said, oh yeah. They broke my door, entered. And they did the same with virtually almost many rooms, many flats there. And one of them entered and asked him my name. I told him my name. He asked for my card. I showed him my student ID card and stuff like that. And then the next thing he said, go back, dress up, dress properly. Because I was just wearing shorts and singlet. I said, go back, take clothes. I will cover your body because you are going very far. I said, hey. And they carried the other guys. They carried them like that with their boxers and singlet. Carried the other guys like that, you know. But only, I was the only one allowed to put on my clothes. I don't know for whatever reason. But until I was doing this study, I started seeing some things. When God fights for you, your case will just be different. Praise the Lord. You won't have, there may be no similarity with what others are going through. Yes, it may be an intense case. It may be something that looks like trouble. It may be something that is big, that is gigantic, that is beyond even your physical capacity. But when God steps in, you will see that this is God's hand at work here. Praise the Lord. And then we got into the truck that they carried. They brought this bus, and then they put all of us in the bus. And then took us somewhere. One of the guys that they caught, I think apparently what led to this was a cultist was caught in town that shot an army officer. And the army officer was already in UNTH. And then in tracing the cultist, I think the guy ran into our estate where he has some friends. So it's the guy they were looking for. So they busted everywhere and started arresting people. So they took us to one of the hideouts where one of the guys confessed that they have their cliques or their friends. And they took us there. And we were in the bus, remember. The bus was the like in the middle point between, police just parked the bus there and called out for the people to come out, that they should surrender. Now, police was on this side. The bus was in the middle. The bus was not like the wage. If those people shoot, it's us. If the police shoot, it's us. So, we're in the middle and just there. In fact, one guy at my right was going to say, hey, so now so in life, we just end. Another was say, hey, your papa don't know, say, they, yo, and blah, 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 blah. In me, I was just praying. I said, Lord, this story cannot end like this. This script cannot end like this. A few days ago, I was in Riaza, and we are planning for a program on Sunday. And here am I in the middle of a war zone between police and cultists. And I was just praying. I said, Lord, this script cannot end like this. And that's just what I was just praying. Amen. And then they took us to the police station. And the same thing happened again. They took everybody into the cell. They kept me outside. They said, call wherever you can call. We can have people who can clarify and say, yes, this. There's one auntie we used to buy things from another. I started calling and started making calls and all that. Nothing worked. But then, I was praying. I was still praying. And the next thing that happened, that man is an inspector. I remember he told me his name, but I forgot, it's been long. And the man just walked up to me and said, that man, I said I should go and wear my clothes. Came back again and said, you look different. You don't look like this once. I was wondering how he's an inspector anyway. And then he said, you don't look like this once. So the other, one other guy was asking him, what does it mean? And he said, mainly looking at them, you could tell. And then the guy has this thing he's doing. He will call them. If he call anyone, he will smell their hand, he will sniff their hand. And all their hands were smelling ganja. So you could imagine, it's either their hand is smelling weed or cigarette or something. And he has a way of knowing. He will just open their mouth, look at their teeth and all that. And then say, go this way, go this way, go this way. We were only two that were separated. And then, finally they left. I said, okay, I should go to the other side. And finally, I was the only one that came out. As in, came out. The rest, they carried them from there to the state headquarters. God help us. Amen. God indeed fights for his own. Praise the Lord. Let's look at God's word. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. Let's have this in NKJV. Apart from this, every other one will be from the message. Okay, Exodus 14, verse 14. Hallelujah. It says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you. The Lord will fight for you and you, what? Shall hold your peace. Amen. See, as tiny, two lines, as small as this word, if you hold it here and don't forget it here, you will go through life, no matter the storm, no matter the troubles, and you will come out shining. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll show us something now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let me take this from the NKJV. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to look for... Okay. From the message, it says, now that we know what we have. From the message, same verse, Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. He said, now that we know what we have, that is Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I think it was Pastor NY or Seth Man that said something, that God is more willing, God is more eager to do for us, far much more than we want to see his hand work or perform in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's also see the book of Isaiah. Okay, before then, let's just look at some people who had troubles. Looking at the scriptures, examine some people who had, if you've ever had troubles in life, let's see some people who had similar troubles and how they overcame. Let's just look at some stories. Let's see the book of John. John chapter 11. John 11, verse 21. Okay. John 11, 21. Martha said, "Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will be raised up." Martha replied, "I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. You don't have to wait for the end. I am right here. I am right now." Amen. I am right now resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Praise the Lord. This is the story of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. So message got to Jesus that he was sick. Jesus didn't come immediately because he knew. He even said, "This sickness is not unto death, but that the name of God will be glorified." Hallelujah. Martha did not understand that. He didn't want to hear that at all. I've discovered that oftentimes when we panic, it's a reflection of fear. And fear is torment. It's one of the ways that the devil tries to pull us down, weigh us down. Fear. And that's why if you read the scriptures, it says, true love does not have fear. True love. You won't find fear there. Because you're not doing, if fear is there, then there's no true love. Many people come to God out of fear. Yes, we know he's a consuming fire, he's a mighty God, he's an awesome God. We revere, we give him all. But the kind of fear I'm talking about is not, hey, No. It's not, I'm not serving him or loving him or worshiping him because if I don't do that, I'll go to hell. No, I'm doing what I'm doing because of love for God. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's this fear that is from the devil. And even when you pray out of that fear, you don't get answers. Yes, you don't get answers. Like Mr. Saj was saying on Sunday, during her testimony, when there's a way things will so happen that you find yourself crying, your cry is not what moves God. Your standing on God's word is what moves him. Because his angels obey his word, his command. So when you speak God's word back to him, "Father, this is your word," the angels, they go to action. They go to do what you have commanded them to do. Praise God. Even if you cry for whatever reason, let it be that it's out of the place of that the touch of the Spirit, and then you are broken, not because you think like somebody was threatening God that if you don't do this, I'll take my life. Bye-bye. Good luck. See you on the other side. No. You can't threaten him. So when you fast, thank God we'll soon get to 21 days of fasting. So when you fast, it's not that I fast so that I can threaten God. If you don't answer me now, I'll just fast until I die. Like some presidents that we've heard of, some presidents who go on hunger strike for days. They say they will not eat. And people are begging. Not beg. You're never hungry. The early times of when we newly got married, I verse one day. I said, I don't go shop. I said, I don't go shop. Before, if I verse like that, they will beg me. But I verse, say, I don't go shop. Apparently, somebody had been coached. So, okay, you know what, shop, I leave. At night, when hunger came, I went to kitchen, by myself. I just said, Mrs. I just opened it up. What are you doing in my kitchen? I just stood there wondering. Amen. You can't threaten God. You can't. Amen. Do the things you do from the place of love, standing on his word and giving it back to him. Hallelujah. Then you'll get answers. And so Jesus said to Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the hand of God? Martha was even saying that she knows that whatever he says, that it will happen. She forget that same thing you're saying, Jesus had told her too, that if you just give the command, you'll get what you say. You get what you say. But she was saying it back to the master and said, I know, you know, but so, and that's what happens. Sometimes you're talking to people, you talk to children sometimes, or to people sometimes. Before you even land, they are saying, yes, I know. You don't know. Let me land. Because if you knew, you wouldn't need me to explain this to you. It happens a number of times. Sometimes in the workplace, you are trying to explain to a colleague who had failed to do something, and you're saying, this is how to do it in case of next time. They say, I know. You know, I won't be here showing you this correction now. Many people do it to God also. You have factored that in your head, that thing you need, this is how and how God will answer it. So, because you're not seeing things going by your permutations or by your plans, you feel God is not in the picture. No. He's there fighting your battles. Hallelujah. Fighting your battles, giving you victory, but he's not doing it the way you anticipate. His hand is mightily there. Praise the Lord. Another person again is Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. From verse 19 to 23. The Bible says that Joseph was, Potiphar was so heartbroken because he was just so disappointed. He had so much hope, so much belief in, he loved Joseph and he trusted Joseph and everything. So when report came from his wife, so you just imagine your servant versus your wife. And of course, a number of people will go with the report of their wives. Mm-hmm. And so for that sake, Joseph was put in prison. Even at that, God was orchestrating a plan for Joseph. He couldn't see it, but he knew God was in the plan. Hallelujah. How did he know? Because even while in Potiphar's house, he successfully was getting things. Things were moving well. Things were going well. The house was blessed. Things were just working fine. He had God's help with him. Praise God. He had the help of God. To the point that apart from the wife, Potiphar handed everything over to him. So he was put in prison. But even in prison, he still had God's help. Even in prison, God fought for him. God was just there, seeing him through every battle. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 40 to 51. We also see the story of David as well. David was lambasted by his own brothers. The most painful thing that would ever happen to you is when the people you think will have your back or share you up and say, oh, come on, go, brother. Come on, go, brother. Come on, go, brother. They'll just say, come here. You know, they show yourself again with your small body. Come this side. Come and stay here. Over Sabi. Come this side. They shush him down. Say, we went get chest. We went the train. When that are known for war. We never go. That's where you hear words like they call fish. May fish come for meeting. Crayfish too, they come. They were telling just David all manner of things that would discourage him. Popsy only sent you to bring food for us. They didn't send you to come and fight. If it's fight, we have soldiers here. Even the soldiers, they are afraid. Even King Saul, as tall and as trained as he they run, he they for under bed, he they hide. You come here, they show yourself. Message where they send you, never come and go house. And David said, what have I done again? What have I done wrong now this time? But guess what? He still went, took those smooth stones. Like Setman said, everyone saw a big giant that is so mighty that they will not be able to escape. But David saw a big giant that he cannot miss. Praise God. And then David, even dare to confront Goliath. He said, I'll cut off your head and give you over to the birds of the air to feed on. Let's see something. In First Samuel 17. So the Philistine ridiculed verse 43. The Philistine ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his gods. Fair and square. In the physical, Goliath would have defeated David. Fair and square. We all agree? Yes, because he's bigger in size and everything. But guess what? He started it first. He took the battle to the spiritual. Cursed David by his gods. And David retaliated. If you read 44, look at what Goliath said. He said, come on, said the Philistine, I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. David answered, you come at me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock this very day. God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine bodies to the crows, and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He is handing you to us on a platter. Hallelujah. So David also took the battle to the spiritual. Because Goliath first said, he cursed David by their gods. They will say, that's your biggest mistake. You have even made the battle easier for me by pushing it to the spiritual. Well, yeah, let's do God to God. We all know the end of the story. Goliath came down flat. David approached Goliath without a sword. But guess what? He cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. Put it out. If you read further down to 51, put it out from the sheath and cut his head with his own sword. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 50 says, that's how David beat the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He hit him and killed him. No sword for David. 51. Then David ran up to the Philistine and stood over him, pulled the giant's sword from its sheath, and finished the job by cutting off his head. When the Philistines saw that their great champion was dead, they scattered, running for their lives. Hallelujah. This day, everything that confronts you, the Lord will stand and fight for you in the name of Jesus. Your enemies will scatter, will run helter scatter. No wonder the Bible says that they will come in one way, they will flee in seven ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we start to pray tonight, let's also see in the book of Luke, there's a young boy in Luke 15. If you read from verse 12 to 24, the boy committed grave error because he told his father that, man, I'm done here. You know, these days we have children who know better than their parents. I'm done here. This was a boy, young boy, a prince who was in the palace eating, enjoying anything he wanted. He had it. But he said, no. Let me go test life. Let me test life. And he went. Then Sakba came. And then he realized. He said, let me go back to my father. He said, even the servants, those who serve my father, they enjoy better than this. They had 3 square meals. And I'm here in a land far away where I've wandered and I've lost everything. Let me go back home. Hallelujah. I saw so much great love and compassion from the father. Even when the boy was talking and bringing himself low, the father said, no, the father didn't even listen. He embraced him, loved him, and called him back and threw a party. Hallelujah. And the father was ready to go even an extra mile, to the point that he gave him even this royal signet. Praise God. And that's what God has done for us. We all have gone astray, but he called us back, embraced us, loved us, washed us, cleansed us, and bestowed authority, power on us, and said, I can't have you being taunted, being bullied, being disgraced in the world. No. You are champions even on earth. Go and rule in your world. Hallelujah. That's what he did for us. Praise the Lord. I remember when Pastor was teaching the other time, talking about Elisha and Gehazi's servant. The servant was acting in the flesh, was acting out of fear because he could only be moved by his sight. Saw a great army before them and was scared. But then Elisha said the angel should open his eyes to see. And behold, his eyes was open. And then he saw angels, saw army of angels that stood with them, that had their backs, that's with them. Imagine what confidence that came back to him, within him. That confidence that boosted within him. I haven't seen what he saw. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's how it is. Don't be moved by the situation. Don't be moved by the problem in front of you. Be moved by the strength and the might and the size, the power, the words, the promises of the God who gave you his word. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what happened even in Mark 4:39, where Jesus rebuked the wind. How can I have Jesus in my boat and I'm still troubled? They do me. In our local parlance, we used to say, person waiting for a river, soap no fit day for your eye. Because all you simply need to do is reach out for water and wash your face. Wash the soap off. I have Jesus in my boat. There's this song we used to sing then for children, and say, with Jesus in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. That's with Jesus in the boat, we'll smile at the storm. Praise the Lord. I can have Jesus in my boat. And even if he's rocking, you run to the master. The Bible says that it's our present help in time of need. Run to him. He's ever willing to help us out. Hallelujah. Lastly, let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54. Let's have it in the message from verse. Okay, let me take it from verse 1. Sing, barren woman. You know, when he's talking here, don't just be picturing a barren woman. See yourself in that place. Hallelujah. So he's talking also about someone who has lack, not necessarily a woman that is barren. Someone who has need. Hallelujah. Do we have people who have needs in the house? I have need, though. I have need. Amen. Sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song. You who have never experienced childbirth. You are ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women. If you come to Agboyi, you will understand. Their women are very fruitful. Touch them like this. They don't get belly. They're born in here. See one person, six children. See another person, 12 children. No. The children be like ladder, 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 like this. They're born anyhow. That's what it's describing. Even those people you know that are childbearing women. Women who born anyhow. He said, you are ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women. God says so. Hallelujah. What it means for me, what it's telling me is that even, you know, we have, as humans, we have a way we picture things. You can, there's somebody now that you, if you, there are people you meet in church that said, please, I need 10,000. The person said, I'm not Mrs. D. So in the person's mind, what is he trying to say? It's only people like Mrs. D that you can meet that you can get 10,000. Amen. No, there are people like that. Hallelujah. Tell somebody and say, give me, can I have 5K there? Say, please meet Mrs. Sajiri. Hallelujah. So there are people that you picture in your mind that now they get them. Now they get them. They have it. Hallelujah. He says, what he's telling me is that there are people you look, you see, and you say, this is the kind of person that will have such level of intelligence. Tell some children, say, did you come out first in class? Say, would dash monkey banana. So in his mind, he has classmates that are far better than he should be the Olodo in the class. Let's move on. It says, God says so. Clear lots of ground for your tent. Make your tent large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You are going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You are going to take over whole nations. You are going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You are not going to be embarrassed. I love the way the message puts it. First, it says, sing out, O barren women. So, you who have not had child. It says, sing out. So you are going to be better than those people who you just sit and you see that they are over fruitful. In my place, they used to say that their legs soft. So those people who look like they are really fruitful. He said, you are going to be better than them. You are going to be more than them. And then he started talking about you take cities, you take nations. What is he talking about? He's already talking about the future, what is coming. He says, so make a ballroom, prepare for it, because what's coming is big. Not be one picking, not be two. Now nations, it will be many. And then he says, you will take even abandoned cities. They said, do not be afraid, for you are not going to be embarrassed. What brought about that? You're not going to be embarrassed. That means, just like Noah, as he started making the ark, there are people who can say, this one is drunk. This old man, have you ever seen rain before? Because as you're making elbow room and planning, big and all that, I say, think big, spread out, make elbow room. You're going to need it. These are, as you're doing, people say, you're not normal. Have you seen this kind of thing before? Are you okay? See you. You never even feel buy slippers. It a price one brand and one design. You are building car park space. You don't even get motor tire yourself. So you're going to look foolish in the eyes of people, because the things you're going to do in your spreading out, in your digging deep, in your making elbow room, it's going to look foolish in the eyes of people. But we're not moved by what people are saying, just like Remy testified. We are moved by God's word, by his promises. We stand on it and we go ahead. We run with what he has told us to do. Make elbow room. Noah didn't see the rain. He didn't see it drizzling. He didn't see sign. He didn't see anything in the sky that looked like cloudy, like it's going to rain. No. But he kept doing it. He looked foolish. He kept doing it. Praise God. He said, don't hold back. You are not going to come up short. Don't hold back. That means go all out and keep doing what you're doing. Just keep preparing. Pastor taught us the other time about how preparation meets with opportunity, and then the rest is story. Amen. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You will forget all about the humiliations of your youth. That means even in the midst of your preparing, people could don't yab you, they could don't insult you, humiliate you. You will forget other humiliation at the end when the testimony comes. Praise God. And the indignities of being a widow will fade from memory. For your maker is your bridegroom. His name, God of the angel armies, your redeemer, is the Holy of Israel, known as God of the whole earth. You were like an abandoned wife, devastated with grief, and God welcomed you back like a woman married young and then left, says your God. Hallelujah. God also went on to say, he said, verse 7, he said, your redeemer God says, I left you, but only for a moment. Now, with enormous compassion, I'm bringing you back. Amen. If you go further, you see, he says, in an outburst of anger, I turned my back on you, but only for a moment. It's with lasting love that I'm tenderly caring for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's rise up on our feet because we're going to pray tonight. We don't talk the world's way because we know he's got our back. He's fighting our battles. Hallelujah. He's fighting our battles. And we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemies, but we trust our God. Our hope, our trust is in the Lord, because we know that he can do far much more, exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ever think or imagine. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The year is coming to an end. And what we're going to pray, we're going to declare with our mouth, according to the book of Isaiah. It says, make elbow room. Dig your pen deep. Make elbow room because you're going to need it. That means what is coming. The Bible made us understand that what is coming is big. So make room for it. Make preparation. We're going to declare from now to the end of the year, we will experience God's goodness, God's fullness. We will experience, the Bible talk described his grace, that it is, he lavishes his grace upon us. Amen. So we're going to pray and declare that. Declare whatever you want to declare. I'm having my land filled with water, filled with blessings. My life is blessed. Out of me flows superabundant blessings of the Lord. Kapila mande vikadoro sonneriana na shabada gabada de seria e la mande vreno no sotea. He said in his word, no good thing will I withhold. Aya da 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 bakamande viredosh and the breno mo sota ina masada. I bask, I live in plenty. Le manda vadados e breno mo sota la boshada. He blessed my land, le boshada. He blesses everything that my hand touches. Ele makabada brodo sotea. The works of my hands are blessed. Le boshada dos e the moko mande yadesha. My field is blessed. My home is blessed. My marriage is blessed. My health is blessed. My children are blessed. My wife is blessed. Levina maka badados. E prene moso, prene moso dea. Ah, le boya na mani vehede dosha. My mouth is blessed. Whatever I declare, I decree, I get. Le pere po shada no mo. In the boko mande vita badadoso dea. The Lord fights for me and I hold my peace. Ele maka brando soterika badados. Ele mende vita badados. Ke preno moso deria na neshka dados. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to pray one more prayer point. I've always experienced this. Every time we go for convention, I've noticed that things that I need for the coming year are just things that are just dishing out and coming out from the mouths of ministers that are around. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray. We pray for two things. We pray for the forthcoming program, the family program that we'll be having upper week of this month from 18th and 19th. And we're also going to pray for the convention and all the programs we have, the chains of programs we have for this year end, for the end of the year. all the series of programs, the Suya 9, the Caro 9, the convention, the 21 days of power, all the programs we have for this end of the year. We're going to declare that in everything, the Lord's hand will be heavily witnessed. The Lord's hand will be heavily witnessed. All the programs outlined for the end of this year, both from the Family Dynamics Seminar, Le Prado, so they are our 14th year anniversary, the 21 Days of Power, the Power Convention, and every program lined up, the Suya Night, and the Crossover Service, every program aligned for this year end. Ele Makabagadado, so the mighty hand of the Lord is upon it. Ele Mokabadado, the Lord showcases himself. Ele Mondo Bruno Sotia, there's an outpour of his spirit in everything we do. Le Prene Moko Bande Brado, Le Perevegadado, Sotayanamande, Interfenes. Thank you, mighty God. Glory be to you, Father. Elohim. Elohim Adonai.